Let me pull up
Ooh, that could be a
the.
tabloid. Look at us. We're responsible.
We have journalistic integrity.
We have no. Hey, we might have
We don't have
integrity, but it might not be
sources.
journalistic.
No, you are not wrong that it is not journalistic. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the American Soccer Analysis Show. I am your host, Kieran, and today I'm bringing you a comprehensive breakdown of Canada's Nations League victory over Suriname. Suriname, Vietnam, your mom, Canada, and three Nations League champs. We got it here. I am joined by Benjamin Benito Suarez Bellman and Harrison Homie Crow. Gentlemen, we're all West Coast adjacent, and we are all about to get hit by. The cyclone bomb of snow is what I'm hearing in
That was
our Pacific Northwest weather update. Harrison, hit me.
no that first of all that intro was fantastic. Speaking of bomb, it was bomb. It was a cyclone bomb of openers. No, it just feels everything feels it feels like everyone's preparing, like the hatches are being, battened down. At least, so I live next to Mount Rainier. I don't live very far from it. So, like, my neighbors have been like sending out messages this afternoon. I had to go to Seattle tomorrow. I'm not actually feeling well today, so I actually canceled that and just told them, "Hey, I will support you remotely, but I really can't be there." And that's literally the only thing I have going on. I'm actually gonna. Probably, I took most of the day off tomorrow, so I'm gonna sleep in.
Nice.
We'll see what happens,
Nice.
man. We'll see what happens. I feel like this weekend is gonna be
Harrison,
crazy.
you're gonna be cozy. It sounds like you're coming down with a case of MLS fever. Ben, actually, here's a question for you both as Americans. Okay, so in my head, I'm fully in Christmas mode. Since Halloween, I am in Christmas mode. What I have gathered from my
You're not alone.
Well, what I've gathered from my American coworkers is that they're not in Christmas mode until after Thanksgiving. Then they are in Christmas mode. Am I out of place here?
We have a Ben. I swear I'm gonna allow you to speak today. I just wouldn't want to say, I have a lot of Filipino neighbors. Like, my neighborhood's very Filipino. It In the Philippines, they don't do Thanksgiving, so October hits and Halloween's over, and our neighborhood lights go up, everything's out. It like Christmas is on. And it's not to say that they don't partake in like American holidays and stuff. It's just that Christmas is such a huge deal to them. Like, it starts immediately. So that's been a huge change in our life since we've moved here, because everybody automatically is there. And so, yeah, that's my experience. Ben, is it something similar, or how do you view it?
Well, I'm Jewish, so there's that. But so my Christmas experience is always
I knew
measuring
that.
it in
What's terrible is I know that, and I didn't even think
the
about it. Oh my God, I feel so led on.
yards. Oh my God.
Like, I feel
But
so set up by Kieran.
it is basically an American holiday. And it's like, what's fun this year is I looked up what it's always a tradition of like, oh, it's mid-November. I have to look up when Hanukkah actually starts. And it
Yeah,
actually
what?
starts on Christmas Day,
Oh,
which is the
perfect.
latest I can, in my memory, I think it's been. So it's going
I
to be
think
very
I remember
festive.
seeing that in like 2072, Eid, Christmas, and Hanukkah will all line up on December 25th.
It's
And
beautiful.
it's like the super holiday. But let's see if the planet is still around, then. You know who's not around? Inter Miami, FC Cincinnati, Charlotte, and Vancouver Whitecaps, who lost their game threes. We potted last before the game threes. That's a professional segue, by the way, folks.
That was
You've
a
been killing
phenom, dude. You're killing it today.
it.
Three.
Right before the conference semis. No, you're peaking at the right time, dude.
Absolutely. I periodized my schedule as a podcaster. We did not talk about, we kind of previewed the game threes, and we're not going to spend that much time because we here at ASA like to look forward and not backwards, but we are going to talk a little bit about one team who was eliminated because they had some pretty big roster changes today. I guess not roster, but Inter Miami went down in three to Atlanta, and Tata Martino reportedly was like, "I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore with Messi and friends." I mean, I don't want to fold it into the series because I want to give Atlanta their limelight in the next round. Are you surprised that Tata is gone? Are you more or less interested for next season, Ben? Like, what's your view on kind of the Miami postmortem and Tata leaving?
This is an interesting one because it's surprising, but in a way I don't feel like I'm surprised. Like I feel like it's a club that doesn't feel like it has a direction other than here is Messi, let's bring in Messi people. And like I always thought Tata was that kind of hire. Like, Messi, all of the rumors swirling around Messi are that he's coming in. Oh gosh, who's at Portland now? What's his name? Who used to be at
Phil
Miami?
Neville.
Phil Neville, thank you. Phil Neville is on the way out, so there's this obvious vacuum as as Miami's coming in. Like these two hires felt coordinated, so I think that's the main surprise. Is this feels like it's the Messi club, it's Messi FC, and I always thought Tata would be a part of that. However, it's been a weird year. Like everyone's given Tata credit for how he's managed basically having two rosters, the Messi roster and the non-Messi roster. And I wonder if he's looking forward at the next year, realizes it's probably just going to be more of that. I mean, do we expect Messi to necessarily retire from international football next season? Do we expect him to actually play 3,000 minutes on top of that? Like, this is going to have to, the job here is figure out what Messi needs, when Messi's going to play, and work around that. And I don't know, like, if it's truly for personal reasons, I don't see why Tata would necessarily want to stick around for another year of that. So I think there's going to be, I think there's less of a power vacuum to fill than would, you'd ordinarily assume thinking that this is the head coach or this is Messi's guy.
I think it's a very interesting change. And we've heard like inklings too about Chris Henderson that are like, really? Like that you're gonna let him go after he absolutely like what I was thinking about this the other day. You know that do you remember that game where you're like the monkey inside the ball, monkey ball, and you're like going through the crazy obstacle courses and you have to navigate by tilting the map? That was Chris Henderson with the salary cap. And he did a really good job getting them into a team of like somehow compliant with like what should be $80 million in salary. And like they have the leg room that they're going to add a bunch of talent this summer or this winter. And they have room for a DP once Diego Gomez is sold, which like that deal is supposedly done. That's crazy. Crazy, 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 crazy. Harrison, where are you at with Tata and next year?
Yeah, I don't know if it creates a power vacuum, kind of like what Ben was talking about, but I definitely think it raises a lot of questions, you know? Does this light more of a fire under Messi, or does it do the opposite? And you think kind of, I mean, I remember who it was, which person specifically was that was like trying to critique the MLS playoffs afterwards. But like, I mean, it just kind of comes across as like,
Jordi Alba.
was it Jordi Alba? I thought it
Yeah, he
was.
said that he wants the winner of the East and the winner of the West to play each other in a two-legged final for the Shield, which is genuinely not the worst idea I've ever
I
heard,
mean,
but I don't like it.
but it's a Super
You're in
Cup, though.
America. Go back to Spain.
But it's a Super Cup. I mean, that's fine. That's fine if we do that. Like, we can have another cup. We can have another.
Shield winner versus cup winner as the season opener. Doesn't count in the regular season standings. It's a charity game. That's my charity shield. Bring it back.
I mean, cool. Here's the problem. It almost seems as if it's like, we gave it a shot. It's fine. And do they just tuck and run and go back to, do they go to Argentina? Do they move on to another league? Do they go to Liga MX? I mean, it's not as if he's gonna play one more year and then he's done with his career. Come on, man. Like, there's still a lot of leg left. You're shaking your head like that. Like, yeah, he could tuck up. He has enough money to tuck up and leave at any point in time that he wants. But the question is, how much more does he really want? Both in MLS, does he really want an MLS Cup? Does he want to prove himself here? I don't feel like that's necessary. I know he's a competitive guy, but like, does he want to give up international competition at this point in time? What is that next step? And I think that just the end all be all right now going into next season is this all these litany of questions that we have regarding both him, how they're going to set up that team moving forward, and who really is running that team. Because without Chris Henderson, without Tata, who's really taking over that team and structuring it the way that they need to? Who's familiar with MLS? Because as you and as Ben had talked about, Chris Henderson has done so much, not just this year, not just last year in preparation, but for the last few years in getting them compliant with all the hits that they took coming out of this scandal. So you're huge, losing a huge piece going forward. I think just feel like Miami has a ton of questions that they're gonna have to figure out because they could really go backwards here.
I should say that's like rumored. We don't know for sure about that one.
Yeah,
Whereas Tata,
I see everywhere.
at least
I
Tata,
see
we
a
have the
lot of
Tommy
places.
Scoops.
I see a lot of places that it's almost a given. Like
We'll see. I wouldn't be shocked at all. But I feel like I should just emphasize for, as I said, our journalistic integrity, Harrison,
I think you
that
said that before. I think you
I
said that
did say that
before.
before we started recording we have a Tommy Scoops confirmation on Tata. We do not yet on Chris Henderson. So we'll see where that one goes. I want to shift this conversation a different direction because we don't often get into the like nitty-gritty of model stuff, but Miami actually present a really interesting opportunity to do so for two reasons. So Matthias Kulawats, who Maddie is our resident model builder, he does all the fancy coding stuff I don't know how to do. And I text him at 11 p.m. and I'm like, can you do this for me? And then I get an answer at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's great. Maddie and I were talking about Inter Miami and specifically Inter Miami in relation to their underlying metrics versus their projected metrics versus all that sort of their actual goals and goals conceded. And there's three lanes, right? So there's what we projected Miami to be based on the talent on the field. Based on the talent on the field and their G plus history from all the leagues they've played in, we projected Miami out to be something like a plus 0.7 or plus 0.8 G plus difference team. That translates when you do the kind of currency conversion between G plus and expected goals. That comes out to them being a plus 21, 22 goal difference, expected goal difference team. Add in whatever you think Messi and Suarez is, and you can get to something like plus 30, which is where they ended up as a team, as a plus 30 goal difference team. However, we've spoken about this at length from an actual expected goal standpoint and an actual G plus standpoint, they were just barely above zero in both. And one of the things that Maddie and I have been going back and forth about, and Ben, I'm curious what you think about this, is that maybe the projections are picking something up about what they should be talent-wise that didn't translate in expected goals, but did in goals, or maybe they just got lucky and had a really hot year. And I think it's really fascinating where they came in exactly in line with the projections, but actually were much worse than what the projections thought they would be. And it's, I cannot think of a single team ever like this.
So I'm sort of all over the place on this because I've got like four thoughts in my head. One thing I think is most interesting is I think those projections make sense. And when we look at the numbers that actually happened this season, part of it was like what I think someone mentioned X place recently on the in the last couple of weeks
That
on the
was Jamin.
AAC. Yes, Jamin mentioned that. Suarez's X place for the year was 7 point something, which is just freaking outrageous in terms of overperforming, shots on target. So
And
that.
for the unindoctrinated, XPlace is the difference between our post-shot expected goals model and our pre-shot expected goals model. It's the ASA flavor of PSXG minus XG.
Exactly. So that's seven more goals just based on where Suarez was putting the ball in on frame, compared to where he was taking the shots from. So that's an enormous overperformance from there. Messi is a G plus merchant, like just moves the ball
Monster.
all over. He's a mon. So whenever he's on the field, he's like the most outrageous goals added per 96 player that our database has.
What's crazy about that is, and so this is like not to jump in and cut you off, so keep your thought. But like, I thought I would parse it out and it would be Messi Miami minutes would be G plus destruction and XGD destruction, and the non-Messi minutes would be brutal. And that's not what it comes out as. It comes out as like they are quite a bit better. Like, I think they're a plus four expected goal difference team when Messi plays, and they're like a minus two team when he doesn't play, and he played roughly half of the minutes. But it still doesn't get you like all the way, even close to all the way there.
Well, I think what's interesting is like such a crazy single overperformance. I don't know if it's because the rest of the offense isn't as good because Messi has so much gravity around him. I don't know if it's because the defense is leakier when Messi's on the field, and so that makes up in terms of G plus difference because they're now conceding more decent opportunities because he's on the field. I'm not entirely sure, but that doesn't translate to the aggregate team numbers. And then the last part I'm on this is there was just like luck. Like you look at the game level stuff. There were games where Miami was like negative one to two expected goal difference for the game, and they still pulled out wins, not even draws, wins. So there's ridiculous expected points overperformance simply from that. And when I look at their actual three game series against Atlanta, they dominated that series. Like the game in Atlanta was more even, but like they eked out a win in a game they dominated in game one with Guzan standing on his head. And then you look, and then like Atlanta get two very fluky goals early, right after Miami gets their goal. And that game state now sets the tone because they now know they can just sit back and absorb that pressure. And I feel like that's skipping ahead. I feel like that's what they're going to do against Orlando. Now they have that model. They're going to sit and absorb pressure as long as they can until they get bounced. But that's just like bad luck for Miami. They dominated, but they couldn't actually turn that into a win when during the regular season, the theme was they're getting wins out of seemingly losses.
Let's make the transition there, Harrison. I know you have many Miami thoughts, but we're going to make the transition there because I do want to talk about the next round, and we're going to have lots of off-season time to talk about some of the crazy things that are going to happen with them. So let's talk about Orlando, Atlanta. We talked about that series a little bit. Atlanta go through on a quite fortunate set of performances. Like, Ben, I think you messaged something in our Slack that Atlanta scored every big chance they had in the series, pretty much.
Yeah, they basically, I mean, in terms of G plus spikes, like it's all their goals and barely anything else.
Which is always fun in the game flows. And if you're liking the game flows, come over to Blue Sky. They're all posted over there. Great place. Great place right now. On the Orlando side, this was one of the least watchable series that have perhaps ever taken place, except for the last like 14 minutes of the third game, which was very exciting. Orlando take the first game 2-0. Charlotte take the second game in a shootout in a nil-nil draw. Orlando take the third game after scoring like a 90 plus 14 equalizer and missing a penalty in extra time to then win in a shootout. The series was not that close by XG. Orlando were pretty comfortable victors across the three ties. Or the three legs. I have so little to say about the series other than that I dislike both of the teams and I don't want them to advance. And I went into like doing my research for this that I expected it to be like they're the same team. They're much less the same team than I expected. Orlando, I think I've been maybe a little bit more critical than they deserve. I was looking and like they're almost the same unexpected goal difference. Orlando are like two goals better, but Orlando had a minus four penalty difference this year and Atlanta were zero. So actually that plus two goals is more like plus five. And I feel like plus five is like a real thing where I'm like, okay, you're actually better than them. So I have this series at like Orlando home field favorites, maybe half a goal. I think like that's what it is in MLS. But Harrison, I know you are a true Orlando Lion. What do you think of this series?
That kind of stung. I feel like briefly insulted, and I feel like you're being mean to me for it. I don't know why. After I said so many nice things to you beforehand, I don't know why. Look, like Orlando itself, like they created a ton of opportunities, and it's kind of weird the way that they have this ability to create opportunities, and yet they don't put any of them on frame. I mean, really, if you look at the post shot at XG, in comparison to the actual XG, it's you have blocked, block, woodwork, off target, off target. So many shots that were just really good opportunities that they just really didn't put on frame at all. And I think that if they continue to have, and this isn't just a Charlotte special, Charlotte is really good at defense, but I don't think if you look over Orlando City's season, it's not just a Charlotte special. This is kind of how Orlando City has been all year. And going back to the Orlando City versus Atlanta, and you look over the two games that they played, Atlanta exactly played them like they played Miami. They got a couple of goals early, and then they sat back and they defended. And Orlando City, I don't know that they can break that. I really like Facundo Torres. I really think that he's a really interesting winger. I think when he's on, he's on, and when he's off, he's so terrible. But I feel like this is an opportunity for him to kind of come out. Romero Enrique has been He's been pretty solid in terms of creating opportunities in and around the box, especially with his head. You saw a couple of those good set pieces that just went a little bit wide again. I really feel like this is a team that is the best iteration of themselves in the Orlando City era. And yet at the same time, I don't honestly know if they can beat Atlanta with the way that Atlanta plays. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm sitting. I think that, yeah, they might be a half a goal lead if you look at, betting pools and whatnot. But I don't know, man. It feels like a serious trap game.
Well, so this is where I don't know if Jamin has ever published this. I know he's tweeted about it. I think there was an article, but the idea that especially when you're on the road,
Yes, he
that
has. He has written. I know
this
where
is
you're
a
going.
couple years ago. Yeah, especially when you're on the road, teams in MLS win more when you're taking more shots, but you're taking shots with higher XG per shot consistently.
Yeah,
So you
we
yeah.
that is like
It's like
one
the
of the
thing here.
key findings is like
Yeah.
actually playing bunker counter on the road in MLS
Yeah.
works really well.
And this, I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about, Harrison, is like Atlanta have now crafted this. Like they know they can stand on their head defensively. And it's not going to be wild to say that Orlando does not have the offensive potency that Miami had. So they'll move the ball around, but Atlanta will be in their shell, and they know that they have the players to have those sparks to be able to counter. Like Jean De Silva and Zabalobanich say, they've been doing this all year. They'll have those magic moments, coming from, attacking from their like defensive shell. They'll have their magic. They'll score their goal, and feeding into that game state will strengthen that strategy. So the bad thing for Atlanta will be if Orlando can get that early goal. If Orlando get that early goal and just start sitting back, passing it around, and inviting Atlanta forward, then they might be in trouble.
Good
Here's
shout,
my.
Babaize. Sorry, we haven't talked at all about him this season, and that's one remaining character from the Atlanta
Yeah, I think he's
mess.
their
Oh,
low-key MVP of the year, is what Jamie says.
for sure. Yeah, good shout.
So here's my like stat thing for Orlando. Since July 1st, okay. 2-1, 5-0, 3-1, 3-0, 1-1, 0-3, 3-0, 3-0, 2-0, 3-4, 3-1, 2-1, 3-1, 1-2. They scored a million goals end of the regular season, right? Then they beat Charlotte 2-0, draw 0-0, draw 1-1. My worry, my trap for this team, as you call it, a trap game, Harrison, is that single elimination, at home against a team that we all agree they're probably a little bit better than that, then they're going to play super conservative and they're going to shut it down. And they went from a team who was scoring 3 goals every single game to a team who scored 3 goals across 3 games. I would be pretty concerned that they go too conservative and get not like outplayed or anything, but like it's just a drab game that goes to a shootout and they lose.
Whoa, are we calling for an Oscar Pereja special today? Like, what is that what you're implying here?
Maybe. All right, give me your takes, Ben. Who wins, Atlanta or Orlando?
Oh God, I wrote in our message that I was writing Atlanta off, and now that we've talked it through, and especially that last burnout Oscar, I'm gonna go Atlanta. Screw it.
Harrison, who you got?
Yeah, I'm gonna take Atlanta just because I feel like they're set up, and I've taken the underdog at every game so far. I don't
And
why.
it worked for you. We had a terrible record in the first round.
East Coast made fools of everyone.
Look, I said this on Blue Sky, and I will say that this year for those that missed it,
We
like
got the
I
whole
was
West
complete.
right though.
I was just playing the contrarian. That's all I was doing. I do not deserve any type of kudos for that whatsoever, because that was just shots in the dark to be anti Kieran and Ben. So,
We did get the whole West right. We got the whole East wrong, but we got the whole West right. I'm gonna go Orlando in a shootout because I think not Brad Guzan's like balding head will reflect a laser pointer into an Atlanta player's eyes and
can
produce.
I call her?
Balding. But I'm being generous.
I actually think that what you might want to look out for in the P and PKs, if it does go to PKs and Brad Guzan's in the keeper, watch out for Luis Suarez jumping out from like the first row
To
to like
tackle him. Nice.
I got the two-finger salute. Oh, that was good stuff.
That was good. Again, this is the thing about best of three is it lets the teams hate each other by the end of the series. So all of the game threes were sick games. They were all really
They
good
were
games.
all pretty enjoyable. I agree with that.
On the other match in the East, so that Orlando game is taking place on Sunday. On Saturday is New York, New York, New York.
It's a hell of a town. Yeah, hit that note, Frankie. Hit that note.
I think this is probably like this is a dream for Apple TV. Like this is going to be such a fun game. I wish it was a series so they could like hate each other even more, but I think this is going to be really fun. So I have some stats. So this was the series that I like focused the most readily on because I think the other two series are not particularly interesting. New York were probably a little bit lucky to advance across the two legs or across the three legs against FC Cincinnati. Two of the three legs, including the third one, they got kind of pammed. They went on PKs. They hung around. Good for them. Red Bull, on the other hand, played Columbus basically dead even, and they win one close one and they win a shootout. It was virtually the perfect back five to defend against an attacking back three. They did not play that way when they played New York this season. They played a 4-4-2 both games. Both games, they lost 2-1 and 5-1. The XG is much more modest. It's like a 0.2 and a 0.5 XG win. And I think there's a penalty in there. It's a very, very weird series. And much like the last round with Red Bull against Columbus, it's again a styles make fights series where, well, not series game, where New York City FC want to play soccer. So here's the question of the series for me. Red Bull just come off a series against a very good team who wants to keep the ball, where they played a bunker counter back five with three guys really close together to transition. But a series that also we mostly, or people mostly thought that they were the worst team in, even if the underlying metrics were much more even. You now play a team that actually you probably have better metrics than. It's close. I think the Red Bull are like plus 10 and New York City are plus 5, something like that. Do you go a more aggressive pressing back four to try and win the single elimination game? Harrison.
Oh, I mean, okay, so I think that it needs to be said that New York City just absolutely ran over them in the second half. I know you kind of tried to kind of spread it over the whole season and everything, and there is some tactical nuance to that, but they got pantsed pretty bad in that game. But that was without Emil Forsberg, right? Emil Forsberg comes in and he basically rejuvenized Red Bull for a lot of reasons. Not only that, but you've had it on the last podcast. Daniel Edelman was just absolutely brilliant. He's peaking. This is a team that can definitely combat NYCFC tactically. They just have to do it right. And I think that's kind of the question. I think position for position, I think this is a really interesting matchup, but NYCFC just feel better suited tactically. And so that's the real question, is can the Red Bulls adjust looking over there with kind of a rejuvenated weapon core? Can they go at it? And can NYCFC continue to make play limited mistake-free soccer, because that's what got them through Cincinnati, is they really didn't make a lot of mistakes. They made a couple mistakes in game one. They paid for it. They lost. They played relatively mistake-free in the game two and three. And that's really the difference. I mean, they, like you said, they barely got by on that, but they got by playing clean. And I think that's the question against Red Bull, is can Red Bull, adjust tactically? Can NYCFC not be boneheads? I mean, that's kind of it really, really high level stuff. I know this is, I'm throwing stuff out that's very, like, you're not going to hear anywhere else,
I
but I mean,
think
that's
Poch said this in his U.S. national team interview.
you know what?
Ben.
Let me just tell you, if Poch coached Orlando City, Orlando City probably wins MLS Cup. I just want to throw that out there. All right, go
Poch
ahead.
is a good coach. Ben, would you go for it or would you bunker counter if you're the Red Bull?
Oh God, I think you know me, you know who I watch. I think you press him, but
You guys are the worst.
I think you press him. I don't know if soccer wins games in this league anymore.
So,
So we'll see.
you want me to give you a fun
soccer doesn't
stat?
soccer doesn't win in one game playoffs unless you're
That's true.
just unless you're
So
just better.
here, no, so here's the thing, right? We know from the math that lowering XGA gives you higher two advance probabilities. This is a thing we know from knockout soccer. In single elimination games, if you don't concede, at worst, your two advance probability is 50%. It can only go up from there if you don't concede. So that's one half of it. The other half, here's a fun one. New York City, and I'll preface this with all the necessary caveats. Correlation doesn't equal causation. There's some pretty sizable game state effects in here, blah, 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 blah. NYCFC did not win any of their six highest possession games. They won two of their highest 11, three of their highest 14. If you give them the ball, they struggle. Harrison, give me your pick for the series.
I'm gonna go with New York Red Bulls right now. I think they'll play smart.
Whoa, I was not expecting that from your discussion. Ben,
I
who you
know.
got?
I think I'm going to go NYC. I think it's going to be home field, but I think this is going to be a good game. I think it's pretty even.
I am going to wish cast for the Red Bull because I'm enjoying the Red Bull.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
On the other side, we were pretty good about this conference. We called LA smashing Colorado. We called Minnesota sufferballing their way past the Fighting Pablo Mastroennis. We called Seattle beating Houston in the most struggle ball series of perhaps all time. We even called Hector Herrera dipping from Houston somehow, which was like not at all on my radar until you brought it up. And we called LAFC beating Vancouver in more difficult fashion than perhaps we expected. That game three, there's not that much to talk about. other than Vanni Sartini offered God a Whitecaps jersey and then they lost. So let's put that out there, Mr. Sartini. Do you want to talk about LAFC Seattle or you want to talk about LA Galaxy Minnesota first, Ben?
Let's do Galaxy Minnesota, just because that's what I'm looking at, and I'm still trying to get over the Rapids bowing out. So let's go Galaxy.
Here's my list. I told you before the pod, I have six words for this series. And I'm looking at it now, and it's
Don't.
actually nine, but it says, would be shocked if this isn't a SmackDown. That's my whole thought. I don't think Minnesota are that good. I thought they were probably the better team in the RSL series, like pretty comfortably, I think, on the XG. I just don't think they can hang with LA. And specifically, I don't think they can hang. I do not think there is a viable game plan. Like, I think if they come out and press, they will get shredded. If they sit deep, they will get shredded. They cannot keep the ball against this team. I don't see a path to victory. Galaxy, I would pick them by 1.5 goals or better.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, you look at the home game and it's just a demolition of Colorado, and you look at the away game and it's even until the end when they just pile it on with, once the subs come in. I think Minnesota might be a little deeper than the Rapids right now, but I don't think they have any kind of depth needed to withstand what the Galaxy have throughout their roster. So yeah, I'm with you.
Can I interject?
Nope,
Please.
not allowed. Next series. Yes,
Like,
Harrison. Harrison.
no. Like, first of all, you're not wrong for Usher. Like, we don't want to
No,
say, well,
Harrison.
you're right.
Interject this.
100%. There is
Harrison,
not,
you've
that
been
is not a
around.
wrong answer.
Harrison, you are one of the oldest. Think about this.
I
And
know,
I pro
please.
No, it's going in a good direction. I shouldn't have started that with you're one of the oldest. You have been around like the MLS analytics space legitimately maybe longer than anyone. So, like, you have a sense for things. So, give us your sage wisdom.
It's not sage wisdom at all. It's purely Minnesota has some assets, and not just it's they've divested, if you will. And I don't know why I'm talking like this. I don't usually talk like this. Look, Pereira,
Huangwane.
Gongwen, you have so many different pieces on that Minnesota attack that I just feel like maybe they cause a little bit of pain because LA Galaxy is so susceptible. If LA Galaxy gets in a match to where they're saying, hey, we're just going to outscore you, they very well could. But they very well might not, especially when you're talking about a one game playoff and you're talking about the fact that you want your best player to have a large percentage of the ball, and you know that that's probably what they're going to do, and that's going to set Minnesota to get running. I don't think this is a you're not wrong in believing that this is probably LA Galaxy easily coasting by, but the other side of it is Minnesota has the tools to play that counter bunker game to an extent. Boxel has been really good this year,
Yeah, big
and
time, big time.
This is the time for him to step up and maybe cement a little bit. He was so bad when he came to the league. Like, you talk about how long I've been around. I like
He no, he was a
his
meme.
evolution.
He was a
His
meme.
he no right. He was his evolution from being like terrible to maybe he's not terrible to, oh my God, is Michael Boxall actually good?
My legit theory on this, and I think this happens actually with a lot of players, is that it's not so much like he came and got better. And I think this a lot with like the Gauss theorem stuff, is like sometimes these guys come here from another country, and like maybe Boxall's not a good example of this because he came from New Zealand or whatever. But I think a lot of times guys come here and are like, oh, I'm going to America. Like the level here sucks. And then actually, like the level is really good.
Wasn't he coming over from USL?
No, he was playing in South Africa and New Zealand. He played for the Whitecaps for a little bit when the Whitecaps like first joined the league, I think.
Okay.
But like Whatever. I don't know if he might have played in college too. I don't know. Yeah, he did play in college. This is a horrible take. Let's just move on.
No, I just think like Yeboah had a couple of times to where he took picked the ball off Justin Glad and he went the opposite way and relatively like he should have had a goal on one of those four different attempts that he did. I feel like you're playing with fire, especially with that back line in LA Galaxy, if you let Yeboah have some opportunities, and very quickly this game can become a track meet. And I don't think that necessarily plays in Galaxy's favor. I think they want high possession. I think they want to completely control this game and lock it down.
Yeah, the Galaxy are not the best transition defenders in the world.
No.
Like they just create enough against low blocks that it's fine. But like if you look at first off, the two times they played, the Galaxy win 1-2-1 in like a pretty comfortable game. The other one they draw 2-2 and are pretty comprehensively outplayed. That game is at the beginning of the season when like the Galaxy were not that good. Like they really picked it up kind of the middle of the season. I think ultimately, and Ben, like you just saw this, like I don't think Minnesota have the defensive midfield strength to like do anything with Pooj. Like that to me is ultimately, I look at it, and Minnesota are a back three team. They've been playing 3-4-3 for like a million years now. 3-4-3, 5-4-1. Like they just don't have that like D mid ability to like shut down Pooj, to shut down Jovic showing feet, to like deny the ability to get the ball to the wingers into good spots. That's ultimately where like it's no slight on Minnesota. I just think that's not the one.
So I mean, I'm with Harrison in terms of like I think it's obvious the way Minnesota are going to play. You look at the game flows for the last half of the season in terms of them playing playoff caliber teams, and they want to destroy the game. Like they want to slow it down. They want to play on the break. They don't want to allow, they want to clog everything that the other team's doing. I don't know if they can do that here. They haven't played the Galaxy in 5 months. They had like the one time they've tried to do that against like a decent offensive team that was humming at the time on the road. It was Seattle and they lost 2-0. I don't think like they might score two on the break, but I will be shocked if they allow two or fewer
So
by the Galaxy because
here's
Pooch can
a.
put it on a dime and Paintsil and
Oh, yeah.
Peck and everyone can put it in the net from anywhere in the box.
Here's a fun, like, weird stat that may or may not mean anything. The Galaxy have not lost the game versus a back three. They lost one game versus a back five against the Fire. Again, pretty early season. All of their losses, except for that one, have come against back fours with two D mids. So 4-4-2s and 4-2-3-1s. Now, maybe there's something in that Fire game where they're like, we can play a back five and we can park it with a true with two D mids and a back five and go from there. But I do think this is like a pretty tough one. However, like Dane St. Clair's great. Get to shoot out and see what happens. I just think it'll be I don't I just don't see the reality of that situation. Like, it's not like Minnesota are some behemoth defense. Like, they conceded 50 goals this year in 34 games, right? Like, they're not. I think by XGA, they were like the middle of the pack, maybe in the West for back lines. Like, it's, I don't know. I just don't, I don't see it. Who's your official pick, Harrison?
I mean, it's the Galaxy. I want to believe that Minnesota can pull it off for a myriad of reasons. I just don't think that they're ready yet. I said that at the beginning of the playoffs. I think they've not submitted themselves just yet.
And
I
that's
think it's coming.
okay. And
I think
that's
it's coming.
okay.
I think they're going to be really good next year.
Yeah, I think that's okay. Like I think it's good to make like I think them winning the first round is a really good thing. It's like a good progress checkpoint. I am also taking the Galaxy Ben, and I assume you are also making it 3-for-3. Fair enough. Alrighty, the last series in the conference semifinals, LAFC Seattle. We've been here before, Harrison. We've been in Seattle playing LAFC and it being kryptonite. The stage is yours, my friend. How are you feeling?
It's funny because I'm thinking a lot about Ian right now. Ian and I had a podcast right before that big LA game. I remember he and I basically spent, I want to say we spent 25, maybe 30 minutes just absolutely beating the tar out of Schmetzer, out of that Sounders team. And it's funny because I feel that similarity, those feelings of frustration, the feelings that this team hasn't lived up to what we wanted for so many things. I feel like the DPs have been underwhelming. They're aging. They're not what they were. They're not what they should be. And this team is going to have to be carried by some injured core members of this team. Rusniak, hopefully he's healthy enough to go. Morris, hopefully he's healthy enough to go. And now we sit here and we say, what is Seattle going to learn from not just two league losses, right? It's not just two league losses. It's now losing in the US Open Cup at home. It's losing in, what is the champions? What do they do in August now? The Champions Cup,
Leagues Cup.
Leagues Cup. It's they've been thoroughly beat in every situation. And part of it is they've been beat tactically, but more appropriately, I think they've been beat because the better teams won. And that's really frustrating. And it's really frustrating to go into a game and feel that there is no way you can move past it. And I think at this point in time, we're just sitting there hoping that Preki and that Schmetzer and whoever else, Andy Rose, maybe he has some sage wisdom from his Vancouver Whitecaps days. I don't know. Maybe they have some ideas on how to counter. Maybe they have one last card up the sleeve because they're going to need it. LAFC is a dynamic team. They're fantastic. Yes, they struggled with Vancouver. Yes, they've struggled with a myriad of other teams closing out that season. They've also been showcased how strong they are at times. And against Seattle, they've shown that they absolutely are a better team. And it's ridiculously frustrating. And it's just a little bit maybe overwhelming going into that game and feeling that.
So, Ben, I want you to tell me if this is reasonable, because I think Harrison is down in the dumps here. It sucks to always lose to the same team. This is how Montreal felt for years. And look, so you lose both games in
Colorado
the
doesn't
league.
know how that feels at all, by the way.
No, no, no. You lose both games in the league this year. They are not super close in the score line. It's a 3-0 and a 2-1, but the XG is basically dead even in both games. The Sounders have lost twice since May. Okay, they have lost twice since May. They have not lost since August. This is a team who has conceded more than one expected goal twice since August. Like, this is a team that is so perfectly suited to grind a game in the playoffs into dust, to dust. And so, like, as much as yes, there are injuries and like whatever, we just watched LAFC against a way worse defensively Vancouver team. Vancouver aren't even close to Seattle defensively. Vancouver are way worse than Seattle on set pieces. They have, in my opinion, less like match-winning talent. Like, I think Gault is better than Rusnak, but I think Morris is way better than Brian White. And we're going to talk about those in a second, Ben, because we had a very interesting conversation in the Patreon about it. I guess I look at it and I'm like, this is like a perfect FMing waiting to happen. Like, you're going to just sit and you're going to clog the game into dust. And then it's like, all right, Stefan Fry sucks at penos. Whatever. We'll see what happens from there. But like, I think there's like, I'll tell you now, I'm going to pick Seattle to advance here. And I have a betting interest in LAFC, and I'm going to pick Seattle to advance here. Ben, where are you at?
I think that's perfectly reasonable. And I was thinking the same. Well, so here's where I'm at. I'm wondering, like, if LAFC bottles it against Vancouver, is Steve Tarundolo's job on the line, or is his seat starting to warm up for next year? He's now gotten through that, so
No.
I don't think it is. But I don't know if this team is living up to its individual talent. And like I previewed LAFC, so I looked through this thing, I looked through this team, and they were stacked from the beginning and didn't have depth. They built out the depth, they've recycled stuff, they've brought in new big name talent. I don't know if they got better from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. I thought they got more confused in a
No,
way.
LAFC have had two good stretches the whole season. From May to the end of June, they rattle off like 9 wins and 1 draw in 10 against dog breath teams. St. Louis, Atlanta, Minnesota, FC Dallas, Orlando, Austin, San Jose, Colorado, and the Galaxy. So like a couple decent wins in there, but they play really well in the stretch. And then they are bad for 2 months again. And then they end the season, beat Cincinnati, even game, beat St. Louis, who are terrible, beat SKC, who are terrible, beat the Whitecaps, who can never beat them, beat the Quakes, who are terrible, beat the Whitecaps, lose the Whitecaps, beat the Whitecaps, where they win 7 of 8. Aside from those two stretches, and again, you can't just cherry pick and be like, well, aside from when they're good, they're bad, because obviously, but like, this is not a team who has been convincing to me at all since June.
And the
I
LAFC are at their best when they're playing bunker counter, and they're going to be at home. So are they? They're going to be at home inviting Seattle to have the ball, who like to have the ball and actually be very conservative with the ball.
no, and the
They
Whitecaps
control
are
the game with
dumb.
the ball. They don't necessarily are dangerous, but what they'll do is press the. They'll invite LA forward. Like LA will have to come forward if they give L if they give Seattle the ball. LAFC is going to have to go forward, and suddenly they're not playing their game plan anymore. And that's where it's going to start to get interesting. And then we get may might get a Paul Rothrock, winner in the 80th minute.
Georgie,
George
Georgie,
of Georgia, there you go.
Georgie
Yeah, bring in the
Manongu,
fresh
baby.
legs. Yeah, that's actually a great shout. Bring in the fresh legs. That actually okay, we might have talked myself into actually picking Seattle already,
If
because I was kind
Seattle
of split.
can do that and can invite that pressure in, and as you said, control the game with possession, which Smetzer loves to do, you're absolutely right about that. I think that you have an opportunity. The problem is the bulk of MLS teams know that Seattle isn't dangerous with the ball. And so they haven't pursued and they haven't given up that space behind. The question is whether or not LA will continue to be
For
that
sure.
disciplined,
No,
will be
for
that disciplined.
sure. But like Harrison, if somebody called a genie called you and said, I'll give you a coin flip, like it'll go to, I'll tell you right now, it'll go to a shootout. Would you take that?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
We've talked
Like,
about that in DMs. Like that's all that the ultimately, if you can get to the penalty shootout, that's all you care about.
but this is the thing now is like, if you're LAFC, and you are the better team and think you're the better team, are you going to play in such a way that you give Seattle a very reasonable path to a coin flip? And like, as much as they want to bunker counter, I think that's a huge risk. I
You
think that's a
think
huge risk.
MLS teams worry about, do you think a team like LAFC worries about PKs or allowing a lesser team to
I don't know
PKs?
if they worry about PKs, but like, I mean, we know that they're a reasonably analytically inclined organization. Like, I think there's
Fair.
a pretty good chance that they're like, we should try to win this game.
And
Now,
this is why I took New York Red Bulls. This is why I took New York Red Bulls, because I think that they're analytical. Of course, obviously, right, with Sam, I think they're smart enough to know how to play in such a negative way that gives them that edge. And
For
I hate
sure.
calling it a negative way, but it is.
Well, so here's where we talk about like the interesting thing between those two styles is like I said, I think the Red Bull should park it, because even though they're better than New York City, but I think the gap between them and New York City is perhaps a lot smaller than the gap is between LAFC and Seattle, where like now you are into a very interesting philosophical decision of like, how much better do you have to be that you should just go out and win the game instead of reducing downside risk? And I think that LAFC are awfully close to that line where I think it's like, I don't think it's an obvious decision at all, because I can totally see a world where they try and play and Jordan Morris wrecks them in transition, especially if they play a back three. Seattle have a pretty decent record against fours, back fours this year. They have kind of struggled against the threes, but it's very hard to judge because it's like you play Minnesota twice, you play Vancouver three times, are like five of the eight games against threes you've played. So like it's very hard to judge. And like they smash Columbus, who played a three. That's a great result. They smash
Yeah, but
Montreal,
there
who
was a
played a
red
three.
card. There's a red card in that
For
game.
sure.
There's
Wasn't it 3-0 when the red card happened anyways, though?
no, I think it might have been 1-0, but I almost think that it might have been even game state when it happened.
For sure, fine. But then like they lose to LAFC in a three, they draw. It was nil-nil when the red happened.
Yeah.
They lose to the Whitecaps, another game in a three. They draw a brutal FC Dallas team this year in a three. Like it's very up and down. Their record against fours is much better than their record against threes. So it's very hard for me to say, like, it's very weird. I'm gonna pick Seattle anyways. Ben, who is your pick for this series?
I think I'm gonna go with LAFC. I think they'll probably come out fast and try and get that early goal, and that'll put Seattle behind the eight ball. And I think they've got the talent to do it. So if Tarundolo can make that positive coaching decision, I think I go LA. But it's gonna be an interesting one if they don't get that early goal for sure.
Harrison, you're the tiebreaker.
Oh, LAFC for sure. Right now. Until Seattle can show me otherwise. And I know there's probably some Seattle fan that's like, they have shown you year after year that they can pull stuff out. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong. Seattle can pull magic out. They've done so against Dallas, against LAFC, against the Galaxy, against Sporting. They've done some pretty amazing magical things, but that's kind of what it is. It ends up being magic. And at a certain point in time, it's really hard to predict when magic will happen.
It's a very, very interesting series. I would bet a lot of money on a draw, though. We aren't going to talk about it because we don't have time, but I want to flag up the ASA Patron Discord as one of our closing remarks, because I don't know what it is about, like, since Twitter has died or is in the process of dying, but like the analytics discussion thread in the ASA Patreon Discord has been so good lately. Like, we had a really good conversation today about the benefits and drawbacks of FC Cincinnati buying Kevin Denke from Belgium. And, like, is it worth to pay a premium to get a 23-year-old versus a 27-year-old that you can get at one third of the cost? Like, are those peak, even if you're not going to have resale value, are those peak years really worth it? That was a really fun conversation. We had a great conversation with Boomstick. I don't know who you are, Boomstick, but Boomstick is often in here, about whether Jordan Morris is the best defensive forward archetype in the league. Ben had his heart on his sleeve for Rafa Navajo. I thought it was Jesus Ferreira, who didn't have a great year this year, so maybe not the right time to make that argument. But if you want to talk about analytics with people, it is genuinely the place to be for MLS analytics. It is awesome. There's fun conversations going all the time during games. It is so fun because it's just like a lot of crazy stuff going on. But I've been enjoying my time in there. Ben, I've seen you in there a lot. I see Harrison pop in like 4 hours after the conversation sometimes and is like, what is going on here? But I'll flag that up. So if you like it, there's one tier, it's $5 a month. It helps us out to cover server costs. I think we've put out like a tremendous amount of content this year across MLS and NWSL. So it's always helpful, is what I'll say. On the women's side, NWSL playoffs are on. Check out the Expected Own Goals podcast episode. Those are bangers. That playoffs has been probably better than the MLS playoffs. Bay FC went down in the first round, our beloved Bay FC, but I think they're only the second expansion team to ever make the playoffs, which was cool. And that's where we're at, gentlemen.
The Spirit Gotham game was lights out.
Crazy,
Crazy.
crazy. Like, actually, we don't have time to talk about it, but like the tactical level in NWSL this year compared to previous seasons is so entertaining, and there is so much attacking talent. Barbara Banda scored a goal in the Orlando KC Current game
That was
that,
ridiculous. That like the where she was but like doing the hold off, lets it go by that one time. Oh my
she
God.
rolled Kayla Sharples like a blunt and smashed it. Like, literally, she hit it so hard. I looked out the window and was like, I've never seen a goal in women's soccer like that ever in my life. I called the guys I used to coach with back in Canada. I was like, you need to look at this goal right now. It was insane. Genuinely one of the most like special goals I've ever seen. And that game was insane as well. 90 plus 14 and added, it was insane. So if you're enjoying the soccer, those semifinals, that final is on Saturday, in Kansas City as well. So Expected Own Goals put an episode out today, Tuesday. We'll have another episode before the final. They're at the final. So if you're going, make sure you go say hi to Evan and Eric. And that
Eric
was
is
a,
on Blue Sky now. He just joined
I
today.
believe Evan is there as well. Oh,
Yep.
thank you for reminding me. Here's the last point. Look, we all know what Twitter is like these days. The ASA account is going to be a lot more active on Blue Sky than Twitter, I think, at this point.
Oh yeah.
So if you're looking for your social media content, I know I'm checking it more than I'm checking Twitter these days. And I know Ben, you're on the account sometimes as well. So please follow us there. I believe, Ben, am I correct in saying it is just AmericanSoccerAnalysis.com? It
Yep,
is
that's
exactly the
it.
website. So you don't even have to remember Analysis Evolved. Anyways, that's it. Gentlemen, thank you for jumping on with me. And as always, folks, enjoy the soccer.